are you? It's Monday, July 3rd. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't forget, we're live all this week because Rick Emerson cares. It's 503-733-2970. Tomorrow, our annual Christmas in July show. Concluding with the playing of Behind the Christmas, an original radio play by the cast and crew of the Rick Emerson Show. Clyde Lewis will be in studio as well tomorrow. It's 503-733-2970. Just a moment, we'll get to Bill the Science Guy, sort of an old school listener. I had a big pile of stuff I was going to somewhere around here. I don't know where it is. I had a big pile of things. We also have more from the City Desk coming up in just a moment. You can email if you like. It's Rick. Did anybody else get this thing? It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Did anybody get this thing about the ventriloquist?
Oh, yeah, I did.
The hell is that about? Did you get this, Sarah?
No.
Well, people are always mailing me crap. They're asking me to do things for nothing. Got a big production coming up. We're a young upstart company.
Would you like to promote something and not get paid for it?
You like to voice something, acting something, be a star of something? We have enough money for ourselves, but nothing for you.
Would you like to act on something and be cut out? I've got this from blah, blah, blah. Rick, he says, in an attempt to pretend that he knows who we are. A few months ago, I had the pleasure of working with comedian Ventriloquist. They know we're a radio program, right?
Yeah.
Jeff Dunham. I was scheduling things in advance of the premiere of his one-hour Comedy Central special. Which was it? Now listen to this. This is a ventriloquist that they're trying to get us to book on the program. Now, you know, we have a standing rule, first of all, that we don't book comedians. He is a comedian slash ventriloquist, though. And I'm unclear about whether that makes him a better catch or a worse catch. I was scheduling things in advance of his premiere of his 1 hour Comedy Central special, which was a huge rating success. Now,
how can we never heard of it?
Well, if he's scheduling this in advance of the premiere, how do we know that it was a big rating success? This sounds fishy.
Oh, yeah.
I was scheduling things in advance of the premiere of his one-hour Comedy Central special, which was a huge rating success. This sounds like a poorly constructed lie. And the release of his new DVD, which is already platinum. It seems highly unlikely that a ventriloquist DVD has gone platinum anywhere.
Maybe it's made out of platinum.
They really should do that. They should just start making DVDs out of gold.
Sure.
It shipped gold. As it turns out, Jeff is now scheduled to perform at the Aladdin Theater. With that in mind, I wanted to check to see if you might have interest in grabbing Jeff and, wait for it, as they now refer to the dummy as though it's his own person. Might interest in grabbing, it's just like, I'm just picturing Job Bluth and Franklin. It ain't easy being white! With that in mind, I just wanted to see if you might have interest in grabbing Jeff and his longtime friend and elderly curmudgeon, quote, Walter, end quote, for a few laughs.
An elderly curmudgeon?
No. We've already had Don Rickles on. Where are we supposed to go? For your convenience, I have included bio information and a press release. Let me know if this is something you'd be up for, given the local relevance. Okay. A ventriloquist. I don't know if that would be fantastic or not. Well, I guess we'll have to look into it further. A ventriloquist. I mean, they know that people can't see him here, right?
Correct.
All right. Scotty is typing on the screen, you had Don Rickles on. That doesn't count, though. Rickles, he's more than a comedian. He's an icon. You just keep your comments to yourself.
I watched Casino this weekend. He was awesome.
He's fantastic, and he gets beaten, which is fantastic.
He does. I felt bad for him.
All right. Let's see. Just keep your pithy observations to yourself, Scotty J. Let's see. Bill, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
Bill, the science guy. Now, you are old school. You're from the last version of this program. Is that right?
Well, I'm from the previous version based on what you just said about our current timeline. I'm all the way back from 1080.
Well, see, look at you listening along. According to the canon, then, yes, this phone call right now is taking place in 2002.
Yes, exactly.
All right. How can I help you, Bill the Science Guy?
Well, I was calling for two reasons. One, it's been a long time since I talked to you guys.
And hello, sir.
I just got back from like a 10,000-mile motorcycle trip and wanted to catch up with you guys.
Oh, is that one of those like Russell Crowe things where you drive across the outback and lose 100 pounds?
Well, kind of. I apart from being Bill the Science Guy, which is more than a full-time job, I'm a photographer as well, and I went on a trip for pictures, and actually it turned into a big charity thing. So,
well, all right then.
Yeah. I was also calling I kind of got distracted with your whole science program thing. That was something that needed to be talked about. But now that you got me,
yes,
I've completely forgotten why I called.
Let me ask you this. Were you calling to complete the following sentence? Quote,
yes.
This one time we had some fireworks.
Thank you.
All right, there you go.
That's it. I was sitting here forever thinking about the space program, and yeah, that is why I called.
Were you distracted by the dulcet tones of Lisa Goddard?
That always happens.
All right.
That's it. That's
yeah, this is our high concept topic today is complete this sentence. This one time we had some fireworks. Go.
This one time we had some fireworks, me and my geeky friends as 16, 17, 18-year-olds,
mm-hmm.
and I'm actually from Colorado, drove up to Wyoming, got tons of completely illegal fireworks, and there was this string of basically M-80s attached together. So what we did in our infinite wisdom was tied them to the post of a soccer goal,
right,
on a field, and it happened to be a hollow metal soccer goal.
Fantastic.
And it was about 4 inches on a side. Well, when those proceeded to go off, the 30 people that we had watching just fell to their knees in pain because of the resonance inside this thing. It wasn't the explosion that was getting everybody. It was the resonating sound in this metal. It just acted like this huge tuning fork and
and shook their feelings out. Oh, that's fantastic.
That was terrible. And it didn't stop going off because there was about 30 of these tied together, and everybody was just in agony. That's like
one of those bizarre sound, like that's one of those Nikola Tesla sound experiments or something.
Exactly.
That's why you're the science guy and I'm the pinhead, because it would never occur to me that that would be the outcome. But now that I think about it, it is kind of obvious.
Yeah, basically the rule was, never attach things that are going to explode to hollow metallic structures.
Fantastic.
It definitely wasn't the brightest thing in the world.
So you are now back. Now, are you back in Portland now for the duration?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Are you able to be our go-to science guy when we have a question during the show?
Absolutely. I called about 2-3 weeks ago and gave my updated number to your guys, but I want to make sure that you guys have it. So you call me anytime.
Fantastic, because we get science questions. Have we had any science questions lately we didn't know the answer to? Anyone?
I think we gave up on science.
We've moved, like the rest of the country, we've moved up on learning things. I'm just going to assume that Moses is responsible for everything now. That's our glorious leaders have instructed us to disregard science, as it's all unproven hooey.
Well, yeah, I pull it out of the air. I ask my ventriloquist dummy, actually.
Are you familiar with the ventriloquist, Jeff Dunham?
Not by name.
All right.
No.
All right, so I'm trying
That's
to figure
how
out.
How huge he is.
I'm trying to figure out if he's a guy we should have in the studio or not. A ventriloquist on the radio could go one of two ways. I just don't know whether we should do it or not. All right.
Well, why don't you just have, to back that up, just in case it doesn't work out, have a live painter.
and a juggler. All right.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Somebody juggling plates.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Hey, thank you.
All right, put you on hold. Scotty, let's make sure we have his contact info. I got a few guys here saying Jeff Dunham is very funny. Jeff Dunham, he's a funny ventriloquist.
So we need a laugh track to make sure.
We should totally do that. We should have a laugh track.
Uh-huh.
We should have a laugh track for some of our more iffy guests.
That'd be terrific.
That's fantastic.
Let's make that phone call and get him on.
Okay. I'm going to put it over here. Well, I want to say that the guy who is trying to hook us up with it, this is, remember Hayseed Dixie and Luther Wright and the Wrongs, bluegrass Pink Floyd guys? That sort of era of music has sort of passed away. That's a fad that's kind of over. But Alan Rommelfinger is this guy's name, and he did hook us up with those bands. So he has a pretty good track record with us. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. Bottom of the hour, we got Jim Roop. Also, today's high concept topic. We are asking you to complete this sentence. This one time, we had some fireworks. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. Let's get Greg. Greg, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. It's Greg.
Hey, Greg. How's it going? Yeah.
So this one time, we had some fireworks, and we had some of the mortars that you can get in Vancouver and not bring to Oregon.
Are these, you're talking about the ones that the Indians sell?
Yeah, yes. It's a big tube, high explosive, throw the explosive in the tube, light the fuse, and it shoots up in the air.
The best part is that all of these fireworks, they all have the one same instruction on the side, light fuse and get away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, all right, so this is a big mortar.
Which nobody ever follows.
No, so this is a big tube full of mortars.
Well, it's only got one mortar in it at a time.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's right, because it's a box full of mortars. You drop them. It's like firing a shell in World War II. You drop the mortar into the tube, and it shoots out one by one.
Correct.
Okay, yes. All right.
So one of the instructions is place tube on hard, flat surface.
Yeah.
So we all thought it would be a good idea to go to a baseball diamond where it is dirt and grassy, lumpy and...
lumpy and uneven, yeah, okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic.
So we set the mortar on the ground, we set the tube on the ground, put a mortar in, light the fuse, and as everybody slowly backs away, the mortar proceeds to fall over. The shell rolls out of the mortar tube and into the box of spare mortars.
Bada bing! How many would you say are in the box altogether?
There was like 25, 30.
Okay.
And you know, of course, everyone scatters like a,
That's totally like a, you know, incoming!
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's like Last Boy Scout where you're outrunning, you know, Long Kiss Goodnight where you're outrunning the fireball.
Absolutely. Well, here's the thing. As it goes off, remember, we're in a baseball diamond.
Of course.
Everyone scatters and runs. I, being nearsighted, run directly towards the backstop.
Oh, no.
Nowhere to go!
No. That's fantastic. And so they just went, did they just go off in every direction?
Yeah, every direction, it was incredible. The coolest thing I ever survived.
And
you know?
And so was anybody hit by one of them?
I think there was a couple of wingings, you know, because they have the propulsion charge before the big explosion.
Right.
So I think there was a couple of, like, ow, my shoulder, it bounced off and explodes.
The great thing about these stories is that they, how old are you now?
I am 28.
Do you have children?
God, no.
See, now, are you going to have children?
Well, according to my wife, yes.
I see.
Yeah.
I see how that is. Well, she's going to win that argument probably. And here's the thing is you have all that to look forward to every time your children are unattended for even an hour. You're going to picture them blowing off their own limbs with incendiary devices.
Well, and that's part of the reason I try to avoid. I'm just thinking hospital bills.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, police showing up.
The best of times, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
No, officer, he's really a good boy.
He's never done anything like this before. I don't know where he gets it.
All right.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. That's Greg. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We should take a break here. I'm going to play a little thing. We'll take a break here. Coming up, bottom of the hour, City Desk with Tim Riley. Jim Roop from Los Angeles will be here. We continue to have you complete this sentence. This one time, we had some fireworks. .. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's Monday, July 3rd. We are live all week, including tomorrow, the 4th of July. Stay there. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
town. They're gonna claim all the world we found. And I'm singing to you, you're singing to me. You were out of the blue to a boy like me. You were pleased to me, sitting in the front seat, looking at me, telling me you love me and you're happy to be.
Get grumpy at me.
It would have been shorter, but Scotty J and I spent 10 minutes me going on the phone going, no, I'm using the phone. No, oh, are you on the phone? I'm using the phone.
It ain't easy being white. All right. I tried desperately to find that, but I couldn't. Just for every time we talked about the ventriloquist, I was going to start playing it the Job song. If somebody has the...
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
It's arrested. Well, I guess not.
I know.
Got canceled with a one share. If you... Rick, this email says, if you have a ventriloquist on the show in the future, I see confused listeners on a point one. Yes. If you have the Joe Bluth Franklin song, you can send that to me. It ain't easy being brown. It's 503-733. It'll all make sense someday. It's 503-733-2972. Is this show almost over?
It is.
Yeah.
Where's the time gone? I haven't... Listen to that microphone. That's like the Likas microphone. Do that again. It'll pot it way up and then move it around. Slowly. It's genius. I wonder if the people at home can hear that.
I bet they don't care.
It's very amusing.
We're going to make our own fun here at CBS Radio. All right. Best show ever. Let's the overview. What has happened today so far? See, this is... Look, at the risk of just going on about how great we are, this is why you can't tune out for even a day. Even on a holiday, you can't tune out. I think by this point, we should have trained the listeners. I mean, they should know by now that you can't even tune out on a holiday because it's not like it's not like the best of swill that all the FM DJs are giving you. Today, although they're probably still playing something that's stolen from us. Today, at least, it's new. And so, what's happened today? A, we solved a domestic problem between Sarah and her boyfriend, her special, her cuddle bunny or whatever he is. Are you boyfriend, girlfriend?
Yes, Rick, he's my boyfriend. He's not my cuddle bunny.
He's your sweet woogums.
What's wrong with you? He's my gentleman caller.
Sweet woman, isn't that from Calvin and Hobbes? Didn't Susie refer to either Calvin or Hobbes as her sweet woogums? That's where I got it from. You never read Calvin and Hobbes?
No.
What kind of American are you?
I remember reading Blondie way back when.
All right, I'm moving on.
High and Lois.
Anyway, so we... okay, fine. But we solved a problem between Sarah and Nate. And we established that Sarah has male-like tendencies in that regard. We talked about, we talked about firework explosions. We talked about Sarah's movie collection and discovered that she watched This Week in both Casino and Swingers and that she has male-like tendencies in that regard. We completely mangled a spot for Mr. Transmission during which Sarah cleared her throat loudly and profusely, discovered that she has male-like tendencies in that regard. We discovered that Sarah's a man. That's essentially what we have discovered today. Sarah Dillon.
Wow.
Sarah Dillon's a man. See? And
thanks,
on Wednesday,
Rick.
No one will know what we're talking about. You'll all be confused.
They'll all think I had some kind of special surgery.
You had the Coulter done? Okay. Let's now welcome to the, thank you, Rick Emerson Show, Jim Roop in Los Angeles. How are you, Jim?
I miss Calvin and Hobbes. I was depressed when I forgot his name now, but when Bill Watterson.
I can't believe that Tim Riley didn't read Calvin and Hobbes. Comic strips are basically crap, but Calvin and Hobbes is one of the only, like, four decent comic strips of the last 30 years.
I'm sorry, I just spent most of my life at rundown California radio stations that didn't get newspapers.
Just sitting there reading the nickel ads in the Tradio paper.
Yeah.
Just reading dog-eared copies of R&R and then finding out the job you're applying for when you went to somebody else, like, 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked in places where the station's biggest claim to fame was that it once burned down.
I worked at a place where a guy threw himself out of the balcony. It was a basement of a hotel, and a guy threw himself off the balcony and hit the hood of my car.
Oh, no.
And, you know, it was great because it was a family-owned station. And I called one of the bosses, and I said, hey, you know, some guy just killed
me. We've got an exclusive, boss.
And he came down with a camera.
Oh, well, yeah. Nobody...
Says, don't call the police till I get there. I couldn't believe it. I said, who's going to pay for my car? I don't know.
Who did pay for your car?
I have my insurance company.
Oh, see, there you go. That must have been fun to explain. Look, to a suicide victim... through himself, you never. It's the craziest story. That's fantastic. You know, that could conceivably happen here because we are now, we're at the bottom of this building, but we are in a very large, tall building here in Portland. So somebody, can I just say, I actually got taken to the roof the other day. The engineer actually
was to go.
No, very few people.
Taken to the roof?
Got taken to the roof, because then they dangled me over and shook me down. No, the engineer was going to the roof to fix something or other. And he's like, hey, do you want to see the roof? Because only a handful of people have ever been on the roof of this building. Do you know the engineer, Sean Couples, who's the engineer here, he has a set of keys that will let you get all the way to the roof of this building. And there is a $10,000 deposit on those keys. If he loses them, it's 10 grand.
Jeez.
It's insane. So there you go. And so did the guy die, or was he just injured?
No, he died. He was...
Was your car destroyed?
Yeah, the hood or the top of the car was caved in and it cracked the windshield.
Oh, that's
shattered the windshield.
Oh.
The guy just bounced off. He was laying next to the car.
He bounced?
It was easy. And you know, it was suicide because I didn't hear a yell. You know, it was just, I heard this big smash.
You didn't
out of the back, and I said, jeez, there's a body out here. Look at my car. I was
you didn't hear like a dope. You know?
No, there was no scream or or nothing. It was just smash. And it was an early Saturday morning.
Did he live?
No.
He was dead. He was completely dead.
It was there. But the funniest thing was my boss. Don't call the cops till I get there. He brought a camera.
It's fantastic.
Great.
You see what people are missing by not listening on this holiday?
It's beautiful.
Jesus. All right. Hey, so the big important stories. Oh, by the way. Never mind. I don't even want to talk about it. So we should talk about Nick and Jessica. So there, because...
It's official. You can date her now.
Yeah. Because,
she's only 25 years old. That's unbelievable.
Well, you know, the thing is, we were talking about Lindsay Lohan today, and I didn't realize Lindsay Lohan is only 20. She's younger than Sarah. Lindsay Lohan looks bad. I mean, she's cramming a lot of living into every day.
Yeah, boy.
Because she is already just haggard and bad and just worn looking and just looks all stretched out. And
I saw her after she got into that little accident in Beverly Hills where she ran into somebody and then fled the scene because she said the paparazzi was chasing her.
Right.
One of many for her.
Uh-huh.
But she looked like 9 miles of bad road.
Yeah.
I could not believe it. So, holy cow, how old are you?
Yeah, I cannot believe. She's not even old enough to drink legally, and she just looks, I mean, hers is all leathery and wrinkled. And
she looks like death eating crackers.
Jessica Simpson has never been all that hot to me. She's got a great body and ugly face. I've always thought so. Her sister, Ashley, has now passed her with the plastic surgery. Ashley Simpson is now the hotter of the two twins, or the two sisters. But, so Nick and Jessica, but guys always think that. Guys are like, well, I guess, the way the guys view it is like, when Jessica Simpson gets divorced, it's like, when she dumps Nick Lachey, it's like, we all move up one in line. You know? It's still not likely, but it's like I'm one closer than I was before. There's one less guy between me and her.
There's some logic to that.
I'm just saying. So they are officially, whatever, they're divorced. And is it that she was with, you know, doing somebody else, or was he, or did anybody know?
I don't know the exact.
I don't really care. I'm just trying to fill time here.
From what I have heard in this silly circles that I have to run once in a while, it was him.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he was in a boy band. You got to expect that, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. Well, there you go.
Well, you know, he's from my hometown, but this doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that's true. Let's get back to the car. Wait, I got this from Matt. Listener Matt says, inquiring minds that wish to know the truth, did they raise Jim Roop rates after the victim? Did your rates go up?
Actually, yes, they did. I got dropped from that insurance
company. Oh, that's fantastic.
It was an 84 Mustang. It was a nice car.
Did you think about just giving it a good hosing, or was it all caved in?
Oh, it was caved in.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, and there was no blood on it. The blood, so I couldn't really show it off or anything.
Was the dent in the car in the shape of his body?
It was in the shape of a V.
Oh. Was he a large man?
No, not really. It must have been 5'8".
Do you still have the photos?
180. Well, my boss had them. My boss took them. I didn't get a copy.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, what did he do with them?
I have no idea. The station's since sold. And
he's just at home watching, you know, looking at them nude.
Yeah, because he sold the station for $33 million, so he can
care
less.
Those days are gone, working for those radio stations.
I know. It was a great little teapot, though, it was.
Yeah, all right. Hey, you'll be happy to know, by the way, that during the conversation with Lisa Goddard today, she found an excuse, like, in her literally 30 seconds into the phone call, in her first, like, you know, I asked a question about the space shuttle, and in her first answer, she found a way to work in the phrase, blah, 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 my boyfriend. So, I blame Laura Caviezel.
You got a boyfriend?
I blame Laura Caviezel for this.
That would be even worse if she didn't. She's making one up.
She's fabricating a boyfriend just to end this whole discussion.
Maybe she has one because she's in Florida. Maybe she found an astronaut to date.
That's Jim Roop saying that, by the way. I, of course, have all Lisa Goddard in the highest esteem. And so forth. You'll also be happy to know, by the way, that when we call Laura Caviezel, or when Sarah calls Laura Caviezel in the morning to be booking the guests, it is now impossible for that call to last less than 10 minutes, because here's how the conversations go. You know, like, Sarah calls in and Laura says, hello, Portland, and Sarah says, hi, Laura, it's Sarah Dillon at KCMD, and Laura goes, have I told you I'm getting married? Let me go over the wedding preparations in lengthy and laborious detail.
I know.
It's just, you get that?
Yeah.
and you're not even a woman.
No. And you know, I just go click.
You just, I've got a bad connection, Laura.
That's
gone.
Exactly it, man.
Fantastic.
That is the truth. That's exactly what I do. Oh, I'm sorry, Laura. I don't know what happened there.
Must have been a drop. Damn that Verizon. Hey, is it true that you're interviewing the children about Independence Day?
Yeah.
That's got to be fun.
I already did it, so I'm going to release it. They'll be released in the morning.
Are they going to be actualities?
Well, there'll be raps, you know, with what the kids say in it.
Oh, is it going to be a lot of where it's like the produced intro and then the sound cuts and then
yeah,
the produced...
Yeah.
All right. Did
you want some separate actualities?
No. We'll just play the full rap. We'll play the whole produced segment tomorrow.
Yeah, they're pretty funny.
All right. No, it's...
Those are easy because you just ask a question and, you know, roll tape for 20 seconds and you're done.
Because kids do say the darndest things.
Oh, they doggone it.
Yes.
I love them.
Where are they...
That little bastard.
Where are these children at that you're interviewing?
There's a sports complex that has a pool and a tennis court.
Oh, so they're undoubtedly really
smart parents
kids.
Are running them down to their little lessons, you know.
Yeah.
So as the parents walk in and out, I say, can I talk to your kid for a minute?
That was a little unnerving. You did that a little too well.
Yeah.
All right. Jim Roop, we will talk to you.
My face on the website.
Are you on duty tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
Well, we will be speaking with you then tomorrow, my friend.
I certainly hope so.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Jim Roop.
Okay.
Thank you. There you go. Jim Roop, here in Los Angeles. You get the feeling there's going to be some open warfare between him and the East Coast one of these days?
Yeah, him and Lard just don't seem to get along.
I want to put all of those guys in a room together and just monitor it. That should be our
That'd be a great reality show.
This really is like a reality show. The whole business of Lisa and the boyfriend and Laura and the engagement and Jim Roop and he doesn't like Laura and Laura's flaky and... All right.
Yeah, Laura not only talks to me about her wedding and where she's going to go on her honeymoon, but also her dogs and their dog has a bladder infection and won't stop talking.
Imagine when she gets kids. Imagine how much she's going to go on about those.
That's when Scotty J gets to start making the CNN
call. Good times. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello there.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up?
One time I had some fireworks.
Yes, sir.
And I set the tree in my front yard on fire.
Oh. And was it a big tree?
Yeah, this was a pine tree, like about 50, 60 feet tall. And one Roman candle had a little bit more punch in it. And instead of going up like 15, 20 feet, it just keeps going and going and going. And it lands on the top of the tree where there's all these dead pine needles, and the tree starts catching on fire.
And so what happened?
I called the fire department, and the kids are out in the driveway all wide-eyed, you know, on the fire truck.
Did you call the fire truck and then deny that it was you? Were you anonymous? Like, someone set the tree on fire.
No, I totally confessed.
Oh,
and they let me off. And I'm, like, out there like a complete tool with a garden hose that'll only go up, like, 20 feet.
Yeah, that's not going to save you.
No.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
And to put the sound up?
Sure, why not?
No, I'll just do it by... Well,
you always talk over it anyway.
Oh, sorry.
That's the real one. From higher down to the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsweek, Tim Riley reporting. Bizarre Bobby Brown antics spoil a new edition reunion. As the other five members moved to slick choreography in Houston yesterday, Brown ran around the stage wildly and performed raunchy dances. Brown then left the stage when the remainder of the group performed several ballads. Then Brown followed with a solo set that started with Don't Be Cruel, which quickly turned to more raunchy dancing and talk about his sex life with wife Whitney Houston.
But did he play the hit single Humping Around? That's what everybody wants to know.
Well, by the end of his performance, he was shirtless and many of the audience were screaming at him to get off the stage.
You know, the weird thing about New Edition is, is that somehow they have the cool factor that like New Kids on the Block don't. I have met grown men, grown American men who are like, I'm going to be at that New Edition reunion. And really no one says that about like Menudo.
Crack is found in the shuttle fuel tank. Looks like Bobby Brown may have been there. NASA managers weren't ruling out the 4th of July launch space shuttle Discovery, even after inspectors found a 5-inch crack in the foam insulation of the internal fuel tank.
Insert joke there.
Fat people are not more jolly, according to a new study. Instead, obesity makes them very depressed and gives them mood disorders. Whether obesity would cause such problems or is a result of them is not certain, but research does not provide an answer. There are theories to support both arguments. Depression often causes fat people to abandon activities, and some medications used to treat their overweight can cause them to gain weight again.
Well,
on the other hand, obesity is seen as a stigma, and overweight people are often subject to teasing and other hurtful behavior.
Uh-huh.
And you deserve it.
Okay. Let's do one more, and then we've got the week of geek. We've got a break anyway. It's a long break, so.
Speaking of hurtful behavior, Senator Joe Lieberman may run for president as an independent.
Yeah.
Well, the worst thing about this story is he had scheduled a 1 p.m. news conference. Nobody went. There's no follow-up to the story. We don't know what he said, where it was held, and when, and what his future plans are.
I don't understand why I...
Hold on it.
Ow.
What was that?
I whacked my face into the microphone. I'm all drunk and alone.
We've really got to break if you want to play Weekend.
All right. We'll be back after this. Don't go anywhere.
All right, bye.
Can you turn up my computer?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll be back after this. Rick Emerson Show. We're live.
And now, the Rick Emerson Show presents The Week in Geek.
Hey, this is Aaron Duran of geekinthecity.com. And before I dive in this week, let me placate all those Mortal Kombat junkies that felt like I slighted them a couple weeks ago.
Animality.
Damn, man. There you go. Get off my back. Anyway, this is The Week in Geek. Well, while Kevin Smith may have been the first person in Hollywood to think of film commentaries before the DVD comes out, he's not the first fanboy to pull it off. The folks over at Sharecrow.net have been doing it for months now, and they have literally hundreds of fan-created commentaries for your favorite films or your not-so-favorite films. Check them out at Sharecrow.net. Everybody who thinks short films and D&D are two great tastes that go great together, you're in luck. GameVideos.com are sponsoring the first ever D&D Fan Film Festival. Get your entries in by September 1st, and you may win an all-expenses-paid trip to the World Game Day in Los Angeles. And finally, on Friday, July 7th, you can get your patriotic grub on as Franz Bakery celebrates their 100th year anniversary by creating a 100-foot hot dog, loading it with a spool of meat. What could be more American than a spool of meat? I'm Aaron Duran with geekinthecity.com, and this has been The Week in Geek. Spool of meat.
The Week in Geek. Only from The Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Rick, this email says, your show description makes you and Sarah both sound so appealing. Well, what with your low-paying jobs and refusal to ever clean dirty dishes in your house? Sexy. Don't forget that we're surrounded by sex offenders in our neighborhood, too. I got to put that link up. You would not believe, well, maybe you would, how many requests I got.
Oh, me too.
It is. Won't you please tell me how many sex offenders are in my neighborhood?
Some of those pictures are just messed
did
up.
Did you see, Tim, did you see the new sex offender picture? Wait, hold on, let me find it here. It's got the best headline, too. Here we go. This is from Luke. Subject line, best sex offender photo ever. Oh, let me just log in here. Okay, Tim, now you, this is right, look at that. Yeah, look at that guy. His name, Larry Dalrymple. That's probably, and he weighs 320 pounds.
Ooh.
Distinguishing marks, covered in scars. Scar on his
that
back.
Will do it.
Scar on his chest. Scar on his forearm. Scar on his leg. Scar on his arm. Nonspecific. Also, he's 65. Befriends parents of children, then offers to babysit. Why would you ever let this guy... If you are a parent and you let this
really
guy...
You should really post that picture.
I'm going to post this. If you let this guy babysit your child, you ought to be taken out back and beaten with hammers. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm not trying to expunge him of guilt. I am not trying to spread the blame elsewhere. No, that's not true, actually. I am trying to spread the blame a little elsewhere. If you look at this guy and say, that's a guy who could be trusted to babysit my children, you should not be a parent in any way. In no way ought you to be reproducing. That's a message from me to you. I'm going to post that on the website. All right, there you go. We ought to have some sort of rogues gallery of the most horrific, because they're all weird-looking. That's the thing.
It looks like a villain from a James Bond movie.
He kind of looks like William Gaines, that guy that published Mad Magazine, a little bit.
Maybe.
Or maybe like if Karl Marx's hair fell out. You know he's a heavy breather, too. He
yeah.
looks to be wearing some sort of oxygen tubing.
Yeah, he's wearing a breathing tube.
So you know it's a whole lot of... Yeah, you think about that. All right. Oh, ow, that was loud. All right, AIDS. I don't know. You're the only one. I just inadvertently turned up my headphones while I was speaking. Hey, it's Monday, July 3rd. Loud noises. I had a big red candle. Monday, July 3rd. Don't forget, we are live tomorrow. It is our annual Christmas in July show. Featuring Behind the Christmas. Clyde Lewis will be in studio as well, plus 1,000 guests. We're going to thank CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Also, Jim Roop and Clyde Lewis, Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio in the newsroom. Tim Riley and Scotty J is an intern and so much more. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Like is next. Don and Mike at 7. John and Jeff at 11. We'll see you tomorrow, and thank you. Be safe. See you all on the 4th of July. Bye now.